now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Ginger Lockwood. Ginger Lockwood grew up as a daughter of a NASA engineer. She was born and raised in the Space Coast of Florida and grew up loving the outdoors. She lived in Florida until she was 42 when she married and relocated to Northwest Georgia, thus beginning her journey with the Bigfoot and other cryptids. And Ginger and I are friends, and she's got a lot of information to share. So without any further ado, Ginger Lockwood, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey, James. It's good to talk to you again and see you again.
It is. It's always a blast chatting with you. Well, for the benefit of our listeners, Ginger, tell us a bit about who you are, your background, where you came from, and what were the major milestones that brought you to this stage of your journey?
Like I said, I love the outdoors. My father always brought me up camping. We went camping multiple times a year, and I'm with a group of people now that like to go camping, and I've hiked every waterfall in the Smoky Mountains, and I used to spend pretty much every single day outdoors that I could as a kid too. And I do believe I was experiencing cryptids when I was young. I just didn't realize that's what they were. You know, I lived by Kennedy Space Center. My father was a NASA engineer my entire life until he retired. And he did have a very open mind with aliens, and I like to call them Star Nation people. But he did believe in that. In fact, my brother had a telescope they used to put on my balcony and try to see on the planets and look for, you know, living things. And he invented one time in a dream something that you put on the end of a telescope to be able to see further than anybody's ever seen before. So my family was very much into that. And my father was into a lot of psychic skills. He practiced every day for 3 years to move objects with his mind. I had an open-minded family with that. They didn't really talk about it out in public, but with me, they did. And so I guess that's kind of what opened my mind up to all this. But I did have a period of life where I didn't believe in aliens or Bigfoot or ghosts or anything. And what happened is I moved to Georgia. My husband got a job over here with Lockheed. And so that brought us from Florida to Georgia. And we have this woodsy backyard, but just small. I only have about an acre yard, and about a quarter of it is wooded, if that. And we live in the middle of a subdivision surrounded by homes. And so I wouldn't think there would be any cryptids in my backyard. But one night, the Bigfoot came to my backyard. And like I said, I didn't believe in them at all. My husband was watching Bigfoot shows on TV, and I never paid attention to them. And I just always said, no, I don't believe in that. You know, if they were real, it would be all over the news all the time and all. When actually they are on the news. They were just in the Atlanta news not too long ago, and on North Carolina news this last year. But anyhow, I heard these really loud howls coming from my backyard. I had just broke my leg 3 days before that, and it was broke all the way through. So I couldn't walk, and I was up at 2:30 in the morning worrying about what to do the next day and how I was going to take care of myself because my husband had to go to work. And I thought, what is that howling? And I looked at my cat, and she got on her belly, and she army crawled all the way across the family room floor and slinked down the stairs to the basement on her belly. She's never done that before and never has again. I mean, you know how they say that animals know what it is? Well, she knew that was not normal, and I knew that was not a normal sound out there. It was so loud, it sounded like it was through a megaphone, the howling, and it just continued and continued. So I finally got up on my crutches and noisily went over to the back porch. I have a deck or porch that's off the ground, but it's right up against the wood line almost. And I turned on the porch light, hoping I would scare away whatever animal was that was in my backyard. Although something in my head was saying that's not an animal, that's not normal. But I just couldn't fathom anything else being out there. And I turned on the light, and I clumsily got out there with my crutches and my big old cast, and it just kept howling. It didn't care at all that I was sitting on the porch watching it. And next thing you know, one down the street joined in. it sounded kind of like, the closest thing I could think that it sounded like was a police siren. It went down and then up and then back down again, like, oh, like a siren. And it continued on for about 15 minutes. And it was long and drawn out and just extremely loud. And I couldn't understand why all my neighbors were not up with their lights on, trying to see what was in the yard making that noise. So the only thing I could think was maybe they thought there was a police car in the neighborhood or something. But it didn't sound just like a police siren. It was just the closest thing I could think of. And I got back in the house with my crutches and got an iPad out and finally figured out how to record on it. I was new to this. This was about 4.5 years ago, and I was new to the iPad thing. And I got back out to the porch and hit record, and they just, both of them completely stopped howling. It was like they knew that I was hitting record. I thought that was really strange, and I don't believe in coincidences. So that was my first experience, and I still had a hard time wrapping my head around that there was a Bigfoot in my backyard. So I looked online for 2.5 hours, and I looked up every kind of bird and cat sound and creatures of the night that I could think of, trying to find the howling. And I couldn't find anything that even came close to the sound. So finally, after 2.5 hours, I finally went to a Bigfoot site, and there was the exact sound that I heard. It was called the Ohio Howl. And that's what made me a believer then, that the Bigfoot were real. And I remember I stayed up the next morning to tell my husband. He was like, I heard that, but I just went back to sleep. I just didn't think it was anything. And so I imagine that's what a lot of people did. And, you know, I didn't know then that they were going to come back to my yard and stay, but they did. We started hearing the trees come down and be uprooted and be knocked down. And I only have about half the trees in my backyard now. And we were really getting concerned they were going to take down all the trees. And then one night, right before sunset, I came and sat on my screen porch. And I hear, ooh, 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 ooh. And one of them was talking to me. He was right at the edge of the wood line. And it was behind some leaves and all, so I couldn't see it. And it was just so cute. It sounded like a little boy, almost like a monkey or like a little ape talking to me. And I knew nothing about the Bigfoot. So after hearing that, I started wondering if they were some kind of ape. And then I went back out on my porch the next day, and they did it again to me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And was talking to me out loud. And I thought, oh, wow. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll be like Jane Goodall, try to befriend them, you know? And I was even thinking, well, you know, these things are in my yard. Best I do befriend them, you know? So my husband was watching those shows, and he told me they liked apples. And I couldn't go down the deck stairs and go in my yard to see what was out there because my leg was broken and I couldn't put any weight on it at all. So he went and got some apples, and I just would hobble out to the outside part of the deck that was still, I don't know, maybe 13 feet high up in the air. And I would throw apples out into my little strip of tiny woods that I have in the middle of a subdivision, which you wouldn't think there'd be any Bigfoot there. But one night I was throwing the apples, and I don't know if I came close to hitting one or if I hit a little juvenile or what, but I got chewed out, it sounded like. It was like, I mean, I can't even repeat it. It was just bad. I mean, you could tell I got chewed out, and it sounded like a couple of them at least just got up and ran and took off. And I thought, oh no, I ruined it. You know, my Bigfoot won't come back. So I was apologizing immediately out loud into the woods. And a few days later, we heard them back in the yard again. And so, you know, the adventure had started. I definitely had something in the woods. Finally, I got where I could go out in the yard and walk. But before that, I had switched from apples to gift to raw peanuts, because I figured if I threw a raw peanut out in the yard and it hit a Bigfoot, it wouldn't hurt it. You know, so that was my reasoning with that. I knew a peanut would not even be an appetizer for a Bigfoot, but I just had to have something to gift with that wouldn't hurt him. So I had been doing that. So now I'd finally got where I could walk in my yard, and I had a bag of raw peanuts in my hand to gift the Bigfoot. I hadn't seen them yet, and I had no idea what they looked like or anything. And these two big trails had appeared in the yard. And they were huge. They weren't like deer trails. They were bigger than we were. And they were just two big trails in my yard. So we started walking down one of them. We were just I was barely down it with my bag of peanuts. And I looked up, and there were two Bigfoot standing right in front of me. And they were an arm's length from me. One was directly behind the other and a little to the side. Now, it was nighttime, and I live in the middle of a subdivision. So there was all kinds of lights behind it from the street lights and the house lights and things like that. So I could see the outline of it. It was silhouetted and it was really dark colored. But being night, I don't know if it was black or dark brown or what. And its eyes were flaring out, bright fluorescent green. Bigfoot makes their own eye glow. You know how you have to shine a light on coyotes or deers or other animals and they will reflect back a white light?
Yes.
Well, the Bigfoot, you don't have to shine a light on them. They make their own light. You know, they can just project it out and they can change the color of it depending on their mood. So both of these were flaring out bright green, which I was told means curiosity, which actually makes sense because we're both meeting each other for the first time face to face. So I could see that they would be looking at me with curiosity. And they both just had it flaring out, just huge. It was so gorgeous. I was mesmerized by the eye glow. I just stood there, and first thing I said when I saw them was, wow! I had never seen a Bigfoot before. And I just stood there in front of them, and they just kept looking at me, and we just kept staring at each other in the eyes. And I've heard before, don't look at a Bigfoot in the eyes. Well, that's all we did was look at each other in the eyes. And they were an arm's length of me, and they weren't saying anything. And finally, I broke the silence and said, would you like some peanuts? And, there wasn't any fear for some reason. And so I put my hand in the bag of peanuts and I pulled it out and I offered them some peanuts. They didn't say anything. So I sat the peanuts down on the ground and said, well, I'm just going to sit them on the ground and I'm going to walk away because, you know, it dawned on me, I'm standing here in front of two Bigfoot. One was about maybe my height and the other one was about a head taller, the one that was in the back. And I sat him down and I walked away and I turned my back just trusting them, even though I had never met them face to face before. And I walked away and I just came in the house and I was like, oh my God, there is really Bigfoot in the yard. And so that's when it really all started. I knew for sure then I was an absolute knower. And I knew then that they weren't apes because I didn't know of any kind of animal that could flare out colored eye shine like that. And that made me start wondering if they were maybe from another planet, actually. It looked alien. It didn't look like something that I've ever seen here on this earth before. So that was how it all got started. And then it seemed like nightly after that, we were just having encounters. It was one after another. Every time I stepped on my porch, there was this one that was up in a tree. And I named him Scout because he was on the highest tree in the yard. And it looked like he was overlooking. And he would throw something at the porch every time on a little strip of metal. Every time I walked out on the porch, it would go ding. And if I walked out there with someone else, he wouldn't do it. And it would hurt my feelings because he wouldn't be pinging at me. And so I would go Scout and he would go ping. I was having a lot of fun with him. My husband used to send me out there when I was having a bad day to go talk to the Bigfoot because I could just go sit in the yard and just talk out loud. And I didn't know they were out there or not, but I believe they could hear. And I would just all of a sudden think completely different thoughts about a problem or situation and come in and be good. So they would definitely be coming to my close friends. A lot happened. I actually saw one tapping on a window of our house. You know how they say they tap on windows and tap on trees? And yes, they do. One night I came out on my porch to have a smoke. And for some reason, I thought to look to the right. I heard this tapping. It was really, really, really quiet tapping. It was just tap. So I look to the right, and sure enough, I see a hand on the bedroom window. of our house. My husband had a light on in the bedroom, so it was shining out some light, even though it was dark outside, and you could see a hand and a wrist up on the window, and it did not look normal. The fingers were real super, super long, and they were real knobby, and it was just tapping lightly on the window, and that window is way high up in the air. I've stood out there, and even on my toes, I can't reach up to it. So I came in the house because that kind of freaked me out a bit. And I didn't say anything to my husband because I was wondering if he heard it. So I walked past the bedroom, and he goes, "Honey." And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Were you outside tapping on the bedroom window?" And I said, "No, I can't even reach the bedroom window, but I know who did." So that was pretty wild. I've seen a lot of wild, crazy things. And that's how it all got started. It was from my yard.
And how did it progress from there? Did you start going further out? I mean, how far were the woods proper from where you lived?
There's probably, there was more woods around us. Some of it has been taken down now. I think they were trying to do some logging. Now, across the street from my subdivision is like goat and horse pasture with some woods around it. And there's some more subdivisions down the street. It's not a whole bunch of woods around me, but there is some. There's a swamp down the street, and there's a lake down the other way with some woods around it. So they're probably hanging out in that area. I actually went down the street of my subdivision a couple months ago and went and walked back in some woods, and I found asterisks and everything around here. So, yeah.
What's an asterisk?
An asterisk is a structure that they make. There's certain structures we see in the woods that seem to be associated with Bigfoot that we see over and over again. I have an asterisk in my yard right now, and it's interwoven. It can't be tree fall. And that's one of the symbols that they make. That and the X's, they pin arches. They leave glyphs with different symbols. We're not sure what all they mean, but everybody's trying to figure it out. I do believe the X means welcome. I had a bunch of those in my yard at one time too. They were bordering my yard. It was neat because it was just like on the borders. Like somehow Bigfoot knew what my technical borders of my yard were, and they lined it with X's. And I thought, I guess that means they feel like they're welcome here. And they were welcome there. I had some hard times with them too. They used to charge me every night for about 30 days or so. And I got afraid to go out on my porch. It's called bluff charging. They will run straight at you and stop right before they get to you. And, you know, they've never hurt me, but they've scared the crap out of me many times. And that really was making me mad because I was afraid to go out on my porch. And then finally one night I was sitting in my bedroom and I thought, this is not fair. This is my home. So, you know, I had realized these Bigfoot were extremely, extremely intelligent. And I thought, okay, maybe they were here on this earth before I was. So I came out there and I said, okay, I realize that this may have been your land long before mine, but I bought this property now and this is where I live. So we have to share. And I was really angry. I said it much madder than that. And I said, you've got to stop running at me. You have to start walking. And it never happened again after that. But it was really terrifying me.
Were these, just to interject for a second, were these adults running at you or were they juveniles or did it vary?
I think it was juveniles. The two I had seen, I do believe were juveniles because they say a 5-foot Bigfoot is really young. And the one standing in front of me seemed like it was my height and I'm 5'2". And then the one behind it was a head taller, which would have also been a juvenile if it was 6'2", believe it or not. So I do think it was the juveniles running at me. I would hear really loud bipedal steps walking down the trails. So I think the adults were walking and it was the juveniles. I've heard that they can test you sometimes. And several people have told me I was going through testing, I guess, to see what your reaction is. And I don't know why they would do that, except that maybe if they want to be able to show you more, they're going to want to know how you're going to react. Like, are you going to try to hurt them if they scare you or something like that? And I didn't. I actually retreated and then I came back and chewed them out. It came up with the resolution, let's share the yard, you know, and it quit after that. So I always tell people, if you have a problem with them, just talk to them. You know, their DNA is part human. So I do totally believe they can understand us and that they're just another kind of people and we can live with them and work with them. There were paintings back a long time ago where the Indians used to sit down with them. So I do believe that's possible. I don't know in our lifetime if we're going to get there, but although many of us are friends with them.
Do you have any idea why they became friendly with you? Is there anything in your background which might suggest that they realize you might be more open to them?
I have ran that by in my head so many times. Why did they come to my yard? For one thing, I'm in the middle of a subdivision. It doesn't seem likely. I mean, there's definitely not a big food source in my backyard, and there's definitely no water source unless they use my hose. So I wondered a lot too. Yeah, I've heard that you have to be open to them is one thing, but also I'm just not quite sure. I wonder, what do you think makes some Bigfoot come to people?
The ones that I've spoken to that have this kind of ongoing interaction with Sasquatch, small sample size to be sure, but the ones that I'm pretty sure are very reliable, sincere, and have high integrity, people like Mike Patterson and Leanne Carnegie, they're very spiritually advanced people. They're very balanced. They love nature. They're open-hearted. And I feel that at least some of the Sasquatch tribes, they resonate with that. So it may have been the case with you where they thought that in a way you were a quote-unquote kindred spirit.
Gotcha. You know, also, I do have 1% unknown DNA when I took my DNA test. And the mother side was human, that means that there's possibly a lot of us that have some Bigfoot DNA too.
Yes,
one of my friends said if that 1% is Bigfoot DNA, it could be a fact that we're noticing each other too.
Yes, like there's something in your auric field or something about you which they instantly recognize.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, when I go places, sometimes I can have an encounter and see a Bigfoot the very first time I'm there. And it kind of freaks me out because it's like, I don't know the Bigfoot in that area, but it's like they already know me.
Tell me what happened when you started going out, because after a while you were finding these structures, the asterisks. And how did that process, I mean, besides the ones you found in your yard, how far out did you have to venture to find more? And were these in places where people, everyday people, can see them?
Yeah. The first time I had an encounter outside of my yard, for a good year, I kept it a secret that the Bigfoot were here. And I didn't even know anybody in the Bigfoot world, anybody to talk to about it. And how I got to know people, I didn't even know Bigfoot was on Facebook. and I went to the museum in Ellijay, Georgia, and I told them about the Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot museum there. And they put me in a Bigfoot group and made some phone calls. And that's how I got in the Bigfoot world. And this group of people I got with go camping once a year here in Georgia. So I met with them for the first time and went camping with them. And then that first night, I had a Bigfoot encounter. There were two of them that just came running right up to me and my husband. So it freaked me out. So I was like, what? Because I didn't expect that. I expect the Bigfoot in my yard to know me, but I didn't expect two completely different Bigfoot at a place I've never been to come running up to me. It was like they knew me again. And this place is a place that you can camp at. The public can go to. Boy Scouts camp there. And that's where I started seeing structures besides my yard. I would see an asterisk there and big X's and big pinned arches, which all three of those were in my yard too. And in fact, all three are still in my yard, but they're getting old and decrepit now. But I learned about the structures from my yard. One night I was going down one of the trails with my husband in the yard, and there were these two sticks sticking up smack in the middle of the trail. Now the trail had been cleared. All the trees, bushes, everything had been cleared somehow. And so I was wondering, what are these sticks sticking up in the middle of the trail? And He was like, I don't know. So the next night we come out there and the sticks grew about 3 feet taller. So I was like, well, that's strange. A tree can't grow overnight like that. And if you picked it up, they were just jammed in the ground. So what was going on is they were switching out the sticks, I think, so we would notice. And that's how I started learning. They were playing with sticks and doing things with them. And then another structure had popped up in the yard, and I didn't even know they were called structures. I knew nothing. And it looked like a fort to me, and I called it a fort. So now I go out and I look for the structures. For one thing, they're beautiful to look at, and it's also evidence of there is Bigfoot in that area. So I know where I might encounter them at. But I always go to public places where I'm allowed to walk on the land so I don't get in trouble. And honestly, when I go deeper in the woods, I find less and less evidence of them. It seems to me that like they like being around people.
That's what Leanne said. She said that from her research, and she's found gobs of these things, she says that it seems like the Sasquatch like to leave their structures in places where they're likely to be seen.
Yes. In fact, some people have said that maybe the Bigfoot are actually building some structures for me, because I can find so many and so many new ones so much. One of my friends told me to go out and compliment them out loud, that the Bigfoot liked that. So I started complimenting the structures out loud. And if I wanted to see an asterisk, I would say, how come you don't have any asterisks here? They got an asterisk at this other place. They got better structures than you. And then I would see structures and asterisks start popping up there.
Well, Leanne talked about that. Yeah, Leanne talked about that, and she said that she would observe some of these structures would change and grow. They would like adapt them. They would like, you know, get bigger or get more complicated over a short span of time.
Probably because she's been. I really like Leanne a lot. She's a great researcher. Probably because she's spending time looking at them, and the Bigfoot is sitting back going, "Look, she likes that. Let's make it even better." Because who doesn't like their work admired?
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that I've noticed amongst people that have this close connection with various Sasquatch tribes is sometimes these people report having a psychic, spiritual, metaphysical connection to them. Like Sasquatch would start showing up in their dreams, or they would start having these metaphysical, mystical experiences having to do with Sasquatch. Did anything like that begin to happen with you?
Yeah. I had a couple Bigfoot dreams. I think they're my dreams often because I can kind of remember they're there, but I don't remember my dreams. I've been working on trying to remember them, and I can remember every now and then the Bigfoot being in them, but I can't remember anything else. I did have one dream, though, that really stood out that was a Bigfoot dream. Yes, Bigfoot dreams are really, really common when you get in the Bigfoot world. Even if you haven't had a sighting, just for some reason starting to connect and become open with them, it seems like they go in people's dreams real quick. And that's a very common thing, is to have Bigfoot dreams. But when I had first got into the Bigfoot world and went to that museum, I had kept everything quiet. So I wasn't sure that I could share what I've learned on Facebook and with others. And this dream I had, it was a big, huge Bigfoot, and he was standing right in the middle of a bunch of us. We were in a circle, and it was all the people that I was about to go camping with that I hadn't met yet. We were all standing in a circle holding hands around this large Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot was saying things that we all must do. And like, we all must do this. We all must do this. And he was saying it very loud and commanding. And we were all like the circle of life people all holding hands around him. And the last thing he said is, we must all share. And then I woke up. So that's when I started sharing about the Bigfoot and started coming out of the closet and telling people what I had learned and what I had seen. That's why nobody really knew about me until the last couple of years. You know, that dream is what I needed to know that it was okay, because I was being protective over the Bigfoot. And so, yes, I do believe they can communicate with us a lot in that way. I've also had really clear, loud mind speak. That's another way they can do. And there's also, I speak to them telepathically almost every day. And I just listen for thoughts back or close my eyes and look for visions. But I've had really clear mind speak once too. I was going down a trail in the woods at a place where people are allowed to camp and all that. And it was a place I was going every weekend. I stepped on a trail with my husband, and all of a sudden I heard in my head, "Don't go down this trail," like that. And I thought, who talks to themselves like that in their head, right? So I knew that wasn't me, you know. I thought, that's strange, and I instantly got scared. And I told my husband, "I'm too scared now to go down this trail." And we were kind of smack in the middle of the woods, so I kind of had to go down a trail to get back to the car. But I was scared then. I was feeling a lot of fear energy, so I started singing, "Follow this yellow brick road," so that I wouldn't be scared, trying to kill the fear, you know, change the energy around me. And so we finally get to the end of the trail where we can go down and go back to our car. I'm like, phew. And my husband says, "What is that car?" And I thought, why are you asking me about a car? You know, so I look that direction. I see this big white light. And, you know, the Bigfoot do make big white eye shine. And around here, they do it so bright, we call it the flashlight effect, because it can look just like, exactly like a person holding a flashlight in the woods. So anyways, this white car, we thought was a car, was coming around the corner. And now it come around the corner, I can see there's no other headlight and there's no brake lights. And so I'm saying, well, Paul, where's the headlight and where's the brake lights? That's not a car. And it's coming at us real fast now. And all of a sudden I got zapped. And I guess that was the Bigfoot warning me when I got on the trail, you know, to not go down it. And I got zapped. I got frozen so much with fear that I couldn't even put the word fear together in my head. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't function. I was just completely frozen. And it got closer and closer, and it's a huge white light coming from it. And it just ran right past us, and I could see it, but I couldn't talk or move or think. But I was just could watch the Bigfoot run by. And when it got further down the road, finally, it let up on me, but I was still way out of it. My husband had to ask me 3 times, "What do you want to do now?" Because I couldn't talk still and I couldn't think. And all I could say finally was, "Let's go back to the car." He goes, "Let's go back to the car. We haven't been here long." So I was still very bewildered, and I really couldn't think. I finished going down a small little trail, and then I just wanted to leave. And it was 3 weeks before I went back to the woods again. I was scared because of that experience. It was just really, really frightening to me. And I've tried to make sense why they did that to me. And all I could think was, well, I did get warned ahead of time by that mind speak. It's just, I never had mind speak like that before. So to me, it sounded kind of crazy to even bring it up that I heard that. But now I know better. And there was a Bigfoot running down the road really quick. Maybe it was to keep me from running out in front of him, because it worked. I couldn't move. I couldn't move at all. But so maybe it was to protect me, you know, to keep from being hurt by that Bigfoot running out. But it took me 3 weeks to get back in the woods. And finally I did. And my husband and I met up with two of our friends that we went squatching with. And one of them came in to the trail late, and he came in with a big black jacket on, and I got scared and thought it was a Bigfoot coming up to us. I was still frightened and shook up still from being zapped in that mind speak. I haven't had real clear, loud mind speak like that again. I do believe that lots of times they can put out fear energy to get us to leave an area. I've gotten that a lot. Usually I try to fight the fear and continue on. One time we were going down a trail in this same place, and I took two friends with me and my husband that had never seen Bigfoot. They really weren't believers. And we were going down this trail, and all of a sudden we see something wild looking through the woods. Now, this is an area of the woods where there weren't any fires allowed to be made. There were no spots for the tents to be. I mean, you were allowed to camp in this place, but not in this area. It was just thick woods and trails in this area. And we saw fire, like a fire, these flames coming up, but they weren't touching the ground. And we're like, that's weird. So we're sitting there staring at it. And all of a sudden, I hear really loud bipedal footsteps coming down the hill where our back was turned to. So I turn around to look to see if I could see it, and I couldn't. It was dark out, and we had turned off our flashlights because, you know, we didn't want the flashlights to scare the Bigfoot away or anything, so we could see what was going, you know, so they would come up to us and hopefully we could have an encounter. And we hear the crunching of the leaves and the breaking of the sticks and the bipedal steps getting closer and closer and closer. And I thought, okay, that's a Bigfoot coming down the hill at us. And you could hear it cross the trail right in front of us. And my girlfriend went running to the front of the trail to try to see it because we could all hear the bipedal steps clearly. It was definitely a good sized Bigfoot. And she couldn't see it. And then you could hear it come around, and it went and stood in front of me and my guy friend. Now, he was really interested in the flames and was thinking about going through the woods and walking up and trying to get a closer look. And this Bigfoot just came and stood right in front of us both. And I said, I do believe there's a Bigfoot standing in front of us, because we couldn't see it. We could only hear it. And I said, I don't think it wants you to go towards those flames. And he said, I think you're right. Oh, and above the flames, I forgot to mention this, was these big, bright red lights, like Bigfoot eye shine. But it was weird because they were vertical and not side by side and horizontal like our eyes. So I don't know if that was Bigfoot eye shine. It was just these big, bright red lights, two of them right above the fire. And after that, I came home and I shared that experience on a small Bigfoot group I'm in, and somebody had actually heard of that same experience with two other researchers that were well known. They had gone down this trail a couple years or so before me. I didn't know about it, and they saw the exact same thing. They saw the fire in the woods with the red lights above it. Now, they thought it was demons that were being portal keepers, and it was some kind of portal we were seen into, and that's what the fire was, and the red lights were demons. So they were shouting Bible verses that didn't shine a flashlight on it. We just had a Bigfoot standing in front of us, so we went away. But obviously there's something at that spot, which reminds me, I need to go back down that trail and look for that, because that's not, you know, that's crazy that somebody else saw the exact same thing, and we don't even know each other, and we described it the same.
And at the same place.
At the exact same place.
There's definitely something going on there. There's something to be said about the notion that Bigfoot is, at least some of the Bigfoot, are interdimensional. They have the ability to go between worlds, enter and exit one dimension or one world and another. And sometimes they utilize portals, and other times they seem to just disappear and teleport and whatnot. Have you ever seen anything along those lines? Because what you're describing, for all we know, may be one of those portal sites.
That's what I'm thinking it is too. Actually, I have seen that. not very many people have seen this, but I have heard of some people that have. I actually was sitting on the trail that I met the first two Bigfoot on. One night in my backyard, I was sitting back there just talking to him like I do. I used to tell him about my day every day, just tell him everything that happened during the day. And that's probably what got us so connected, so close. But I was sitting on the trail and it was nighttime, and my husband didn't know I was in my backyard. So he came out there, came out here on the porch, and he flipped on the porch light. And he said, honey, are you out there? And I looked up at the porch light. And right when I did, a Bigfoot walked out in front of me, and it was cloaked. And the only reason I could see it is because my husband turned on the porch light. So it was making a background light behind it. And the Bigfoot was see-through. I could still see my husband in the porch through the Bigfoot as it was walking in front of me.
Wow.
I didn't even know they could cloak. This was before I had met anybody in the Bigfoot world, so I didn't know what I was seeing. The only way I figured it out was I kept telling the story to people, and then people started telling me what they thought I saw, and I'm like, yep, that was it. You know, and some people think their hairs just blend in with the background rather than cloaking. Well, this wasn't blending in with any background. It looked like a walking shadow upright. Like, you know how your shadow looks on the ground on the sidewalk?
Yes.
Imagine it standing walking. That's what it looked like. And but it had the shape of a Bigfoot. You know, it was, I could see its hands, its arms, its legs. I could see the entire body. It was shaped like a Bigfoot, but it was see-through and looked like a walking shadow. And then it walked all the way across the trail in front of me, and I'm sitting there answering my husband back, and I'm not saying anything about what I'm seeing because I didn't know how to explain it. I'm just like, yeah, honey, I'm fine, like, quiet a minute, let me look with this, you know. It walked in the trail in front of me, and it went over to two parallel trees I've got here in the yard, and it started merging into them. I am not joking. I thought I was going crazy. So I turned my head and I looked away. I thought, this has got to be an illusion. And so I turned my head away for a little bit to look, and I looked back to see if I could still see it. And I could. The Bigfoot was still there, and it was still see-through, but it was only sticking out about an inch out of the trees now. I can only see about an inch of its body sticking out. And then it just kept merging and merging and merging into the two parallel trees, and it just disappeared. And after that, like I said, I keep telling the story, and some people have told me that two parallel trees can be a portal. So I think what I saw was a Bigfoot walk in front of me cloaked and go in a portal and merge into it and disappear.
Well, that goes back to ancient times where the Celts and the Druids, they thought of oaks and oak groves as being sacred, holy kind of places. And then this is, throughout antiquity. In fact, the pillars that we see in all these ancient temples and monuments, there's a school of thought that says those pillars represent like oak trees, really, the trunks of them, right?
Okay.
Like the porticos and the entryways to temples and whatnot. Now, we were talking before we came on the show, and sometimes I wish we could just in between chatter and the after chatter, because sometimes that's even more interesting. But but we talked about the concept of gift giving and the concept of how the Sasquatch tribes, at least some of them, are part of a network, and they seem to be able to instantaneously get messages off to other tribes in like a vastly different location, a far away location, and say to the other tribe, okay, this person we know, like Ginger, for example, is going to some other place. Can you say hello to her on our behalf? You were telling a story about California, Mount Hood, or Washington State. I can't remember. Could you share that story with our listeners?
Yes. In June of this year, one of my best friends came to my state of Georgia, and we hopped in my car, and he drove us all the way to Washington State. We stopped in Kansas and picked up a couple friends, and they got in their car and followed us. And we stopped in Utah and picked up another girlfriend. She got in her car and followed us. And we're driving all the way to Washington to go camping at Barb Shoup's place, who does a lot of campouts for the Bigfoot. And we were doing a horse medicine rattle workshop. And on the way there, one of the ladies with us wanted to pull over and take a picture of Mount St. Helens once we got to Washington. It was gorgeous. Had the snow on the ground, even though it was June. And we get out of the car, and there's all this snow right there at the edge of the road. And one of the ladies looks down, and she sees Bigfoot prints right there. And right before that, I had whispered, "Peanut, I'm in Washington." And Peanut is the name I named a Bigfoot in my yard, because we used to play with peanuts. And my friend had said, "What did you just whisper?" And I said, "Oh, nothing." So we pull over and we see these footprints there, and these Bigfoot footprints. And we're all like, "Wow, wouldn't you know, we pull over right there where the Bigfoot prints are." And then we're looking some more, and I saw a peanut laying next to one of the prints, and it looked weathered. Right before I had left, I'd put some peanuts on my gifting stump here at the house. And so, to me, that was Peanut letting me know he was in Washington.
And somehow, one of your peanuts that you'd left on your porch wound up in Washington State.
Yeah, and it was real weathered looking, too, like it had traveled.
Wow. Yeah, Mike Patterson and Leanne Carnegie got a similar story about large marbles. Mike telling the Sasquatch up in Ontario to somehow give them to Leanne, if I remember the story correctly, and she's in an entirely different place, and then the Sasquatch in the area she's working, they give it to her, right?
Yeah, that actually happens with me and one of the friends that went on the trip with me, too. She used to live here in Georgia, and I used to camp with her, and we used to share our Bigfoot stories, and she moved to Utah, and it's like all my Bigfoot friends moved away last year, but wasn't having any Bigfoot experiences there. So I started gifting them peanuts again here at my house. And I started asking them if they could please give one to my girlfriend. And sure enough, she has peanuts show up at her house now every now and then.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they definitely all communicate. I think once they connect with you, you're connected to all of them. Because I was walking in the woods by myself one of the first days there in Washington, all by myself going down a trail. And all of a sudden I hear whoop right to the side of me in the bushes. It's like they were acknowledging that they knew me and knew I was there. Every place I go, I have a Bigfoot encounter. And, you know, they say you got to get to know the Bigfoot there and come to the woods often. Well, every time I go somewhere, I have a Bigfoot encounter, no matter where I go. You know? Yeah. So I think they all know you once you connect to them. I think for me, because they were right here in my backyard, we were so up close and personal, and I was spending so much time with them that it just really connected us close. I went camping last year with my group of friends, and this time we camped somewhere different up in North Georgia. And I didn't know the Bigfoot in that area or anything. First night, we all go to bed, and I start hearing them run back and forth, you know, around my tent, you know, the loud bipedal footsteps. They ran by my tent and then by my friend's tent that took me to Washington and then by my other girlfriend's tent that went to Washington with us. And you'd hear her giggle and then they'd run back by my tent and he'd hear me giggle. He was smack in between our tents. So they were running back and forth to our tents. And earlier that night, I had a rock in my hand. I had brought it to show my friends that was put on my gifting stump here at my house. I was going through a hard time last year and I needed to know the Bigfoot were with me. So I was on the phone talking to a girlfriend one time in my backyard last year, and I looked at my gifting stump and I saw this big quartz rock on it. And it looked just like a Bigfoot head. I mean, just like one. It's got the nose and the sunken in eyes and the dome head and everything. And so I had brought that with me to the camp out to show them. I was sitting by the campfire and my friend walked me straight from the fire to the tent. I took my Bigfoot rock out of my pocket and I sat it next to me in bed that night. And then the Bigfoot started running by our tents. I woke up the next morning and my rock was gone. And I thought, oh no, I lost my Bigfoot rock. I was so upset because that was so special to me. So I went back down to the fire, traced my steps from the fire to the tent. Couldn't find the rock. I was so distraught and I wasn't saying anything to anybody because I was kind of embarrassed. I lost my Bigfoot rock. And then the three of us went and got in my car and to go to Walmart later that day. I had not been in my car. None of us had. And he lifted up the back of my car, the hatchback, and there was my Bigfoot rock sitting in the back of my car.
Wow.
And I'd never been to this place. I did not know these Bigfoot. And so that means one at least stuck an arm in my tent that night or came in my tent and grabbed the rock and went in my car and knew which car was mine.
And was the car locked? Probably not, because you were out in the woods.
I didn't have it locked. I didn't have it locked. And I had two friends that were in an RV in the parking lot that night. They heard one splash in the river and whistle outside of the RV that night.
Wow.
And so I imagine that was them cutting up and putting the rock in my car. And then the next night, my friend wanted to go on a night walk with me, and he was in the bathroom, and I was laying on the bridge waiting for him. There was this bridge right over a stream. And I was looking up at the sky and I saw a shooting star go by. And I followed the shooting star with my eyes down to the horizon line. And I looked right in front of me and there's a Bigfoot standing in front of me with his white eye shine on. And I'm like, what the heck? These Bigfoot already know me here. You know?
This was in North Georgia.
Uh-huh. And I had never been to this area of the woods ever in my life.
Whereabouts in North Georgia? What was the name of the nearest big city or town?
Ellijay. It was near the Bigfoot Museum.
Oh, that's pretty apt.
Yeah. And you know, so that was pretty wild too. It had this white eye shine, but let me tell you, it looked different than the eye shine here. Like I said, here it's real, real bright, and we call it the flashlight effect because it can look just like somebody holding a flashlight in the woods, which I imagine that's why most people camp and don't realize they're looking at Bigfoot. They're probably wondering what the people are doing in the woods, you know? And but here it was more dithered and not bright white like a flashlight. It was white and it was round, but it was real dithered. It wasn't real bright. So that's something else I've noticed. I used to you know, give advice about Bigfoot on just what I knew from this area. And now I've learned when you go other places, they do not look alike and they do not act alike either.
Another aspect of Bigfoot is the fact that there does seem to be some kind of ET-UFO connection. In the time we got in the first segment, and I'd like to hear more about this in the second segment and you know, whatever else you feel like sharing, has there ever been that UFO-ET element connected with Bigfoot in your experience?
Well, like I said, the first time I saw them and I saw that eye shine coming out of them, I thought, okay, they've got to be aliens. There's no way. That's nothing like here on anything on Earth. And then when I saw them do things like cloak and merge into trees, and I've actually seen them in light form also. And so I knew it wasn't anything on this Earth. And
could you describe them just for a moment, what their light form looked like?
Yeah, I actually thought it was an angel. The first one I saw, it was in my backyard. And like I said, my porch is right up against the wood line. So I went out on my porch to have a smoke. And, you know, my backyard is small, so I can see all the way through to the back, you know. And it was up on the top of the hill. And there was this bright, bright white body. It was pure bright white light. And it looked like it had its arms straight out. And it, the only thing I could think of, because I didn't know even the Bigfoot could go in light form, was an angel. I thought maybe it was an angel up on the hill, and I'd never seen an angel before. And but then part of my intuition always saying, no, that's a Bigfoot. You have Bigfoot in your yard. That's just some kind of form that they're going into there. And so I kept looking at it. And once again, I thought, okay, I'm going crazy. This cannot be real. So I bowed to it just in case it was real, and it bowed back to me. And then I'm like, okay, that's real up there. <You know? laughs> And then another time, it wasn't, it's like they were giving me lessons. You know, I'd go through one thing, like I was going through the bluff charges for about a month. And then now this time, length of time, I was seeing them in light form. It's like they were trying to teach me things. And I went out on the porch again and I saw something weird. It was like shimmery and kind of white and maybe had some red in it. And I thought, that's weird. What is that? And I thought maybe it was my reflection on a tree, that it was wet or something. And I thought, well, how come I've never seen my reflection on the back of a tree before? And so I started moving my arms. I moved one up to the right and held it up in the air. And I saw the image stick a right arm up in the air. So I put it down, it put its arm down. So I thought, okay, maybe this is a reflection of me. And so I put my left arm up and it put its left arm up. And I thought, okay. And it was just, it was like white with colors in it. Kind of hard to explain, but it was the shape of a body. But it looked big and tall. And but I just couldn't imagine what it was. And then, so then I started just doing my arms all kinds of ways, a way that it couldn't keep up with me, because I'd heard they would mimic you, and it wasn't keeping up with me. And then all of a sudden the body came out more where I could see it. It's like it went into physical form and I could make it out. Then it was a big Bigfoot and two others appeared right next to it.
Wow.
And then actually, I think I saw inside a portal once in my neighbor's backyard. I went out on my porch. Seemed like my porch was a hazardous place, but I went out on my porch. And for some reason, I thought to look to the right. And I see this big, huge circle in the air. And it was right above this big granite quartz boulder. Our land here is made of tons of quartz and gold and crystals and granite, which I think probably the Bigfoot used. And there was this big, huge boulder. And right above it was this big, huge circle. And it was half red and half orange inside. And it real dithered, and it kind of blended in with the night. I don't even know how I noticed it, but it wasn't like bright orange and bright red. It was like dark and blended in. And there was a line in between, almost like a horizon line separating the orange and the red. And it was all inside this circle. And it frightened me because I'd seen so many crazy things. I didn't know I wanted to see another thing. So I turned my head to not see it. And then I thought, Ginger, turn back and look, or you'll never figure out what you've seen and you'll be sorry. So I turned my head back and looked, and the circle disappeared. And then there was two bright white almond-shaped eyes there. Just up off the ground. You know, it was dark, so I couldn't see the body. I could just see bright, bright white almond-shaped eyes, like the shape of ours, but if you didn't have pupils and it was just bright white and glowing like flashlights behind it. And it started walking towards my yard. It straight at me. And then once it got to the border of my yard, it turned and went into the wood line and it turned its back to me and I couldn't see the eye shine anymore. But I do believe that was a portal I was seen into that opened up and the Bigfoot came out of it, to tell you the truth.
Well, the fact that there's so many natural deposits of quartz, of crystals, all that could be modulated by a civilization, a species that knows how to do it, in order to open portals, in order to create all kinds of different effects. So that's another reason why you were at the right, or at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, my whole yard is like a big quartz bed. I can't even dig one little tiny hole for a marigold without taking up big chunks of quartz all over the place. So we know that quartz has really strong energy. They use it in electronics. So absolutely, I believe that they're working with the quartz. I definitely interdimensional, because that one I saw cloaked, I don't think it was completely in our physical world.
That was the one that was merging with the tree, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, the one that came out, it looked like that was a portal. Now, I have a friend that has spaceships that come into his yard. He videos them. For some reason, Facebook isn't letting him putting up the live videos anymore, but they were live. So I was watching them come in. They were like these big balls in the sky, and they'd come down to his yard and they'd start morphing and it'd look like Bigfoot faces coming out of it. And next thing you know, he had the Bigfoot in his yard.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So then when I saw that, I'm like, okay, they are definitely able to fly around and change shape and shape shift.
Yes, at least some of the Sasquatch tribes, I feel, are interdimensional, extraterrestrial, multiversal. They just have these means and capabilities to do all these things. Some of them have been seen to come out of craft. Some of them have been seen in the close proximity of a landed or a hovering craft. So at some level, there's a connection there. They're probably part and parcel of the whole ET phenomenon.
Yeah. Now, I have some other friends that have Bigfoot in their yard, and they've never seen him cloak or do anything like that. Now, they do get telepathic messages from him, so it seems like there may be different levels of their psychic capabilities, just like us. Like some of us have maybe stronger psychic capabilities than others, or maybe better at one thing psychically than somebody else. And I'm sure they have their places. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In the, what they do and... I would think that anybody who had them in their yard would have seen some of the stuff I've seen, but they haven't. So apparently some Bigfoot are not capable of it.
Even people open to this may not have, I don't want to say this in an elitist sense, okay? I hope it doesn't come out wrong. They may not have either the intuitive capability or the third eye etheric vision that would allow them to see as much as you would, for example. You know what I mean? Because there's still that element, and I'm not lumping the people who want to see this stuff but can't haven't seen it much yet.
Right.
I'm not lumping them with the fuddy-duddy nuts and bolts. Oh, look, we got a first sample, and here's another one of our plaster Paris, molds of a print. Mm-hmm. I mean, those people are so passe. They're so like 1930s. Right? They're still running around thinking that Sasquatch is a big animal or something, instead of, he's an animal and she's an animal, but there's so much more than that. We're animals, right? These are some of them are highly evolved, that are technologically capable. And yes, they're just amazing animals.
I hear people say, well, they're not technologically advanced as us. I'm like, what? And they're like, well, they don't use cell phones and all. Well, they use UFOs.
That's right. And then telepathy, and they use portals. And for them, it's natural. It's like they don't need
a utility. They don't need a phone.
Yeah, they don't need a utility belt. You know, they just, they got it. And that's another lesson for us. Whereas, they don't need this whole array of buttons to push on some kind of control vest or something. There's something innate to them, right? Well, anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment. Ginger, if the people want to share their information with you. Do you have an email address or a place they can contact you with?
Sure. Yeah, they can email me at stuck, S-T-U-C-K, claws, C-L-A-W-S, number2@gmail.com.
So stuck, claws, the numeral 2, at gmail.com.
Correct.
Oh, cool.
I named it after my cat. Her claws were getting stuck in the scratching post all the time, and I needed a name. So that's how I came up with Stuck Claws. That's how you can read it.
Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with my friend Ginger Lockwood. This is James Bartley. You've been listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment for the members.